الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون صدق الله العظيم علماء الكرام most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa We are still discussing that hadith of Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in which Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam says that my Rabb ordered me, instructed me with regards to 9 things. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports this hadith sharif. And we can go on discussing this hadith sharif till the end of the year or much more than that and still we cannot come to conclusion if we wish to. Because there's so much in it. And every time that it is discussed, it strengthens our iman. It makes us turn towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And if we are sincere, then it will make us give up sins of our lives. It will give us the courage and the strength to distance ourselves from those things that are displeasing to our Rabb, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So just to recap, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, my Rabb ordered me that I should fear him in public and in private. This we have discussed at length, but every time that we mention this point, we cannot help but repeating that if only the ummah as a whole learns just this first lesson, that have the khawf of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, whether you are alone or whether you are in public, then that will restrain the person from all sins. All sins. After that, there is no need for any further nasihat, any further Quranic ayat, any further advice, any further hadith sharif. As far as restraining is concerned, yes, we will have to have the knowledge of what is halal, what is haram. What pleases Allah Ta'ala, what does not please Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now for that we need all the ayats of the Quran Sharif and the hadiths. But as far as the restraining power is concerned, that where we find ourselves weak, because take all the cases that come before us, 99.9% of the time, the reason or the cause behind it is that we do not have this khawf of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that Allah is watching, Allah Ta'ala is hearing, Allah Ta'ala knows, and we have to account before Him on the Day of Judgment. And the Day of Judgment is far away. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala shakes the person's heart even in this world when he indulges in those things that are displeasing to him. As I think I mentioned, that earthquakes, cyclones, gale force winds, tremors, flood waters, they are causing destruction everywhere in the world, everywhere. So we take it for granted that this hasn't happened here or it's not going to happen here. But even though that disaster may have struck somewhere else, and there is every possibility and likelihood that it can even strike in our area because of the abundance of sins, but we ask Allah Ta'ala for protection. But that is a different thing altogether. Wherever it will strike and the disaster and destruction will take place. But the moment this person begins to commit sins, he indulges in evil, he forgets that my Allah is watching me, my Allah knows what I am doing, and my Allah has that power to seize me the moment I am committing sins. The moment he forgets that and he goes on indulging in those sins, he becomes persistent. And look at Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ihsan and mercy. Look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's shan of rahmatul lil alameen. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the person who makes istighfar from his sins, he is not one who is persistent, even though he commits that sin 70 times. Of course, that does not mean that that's a license. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that even if you commit that sin 70 times, But if you are not persistent, if you make tawbah and istighfar, so now the meaning that we take of this hadith sharif is that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given us the license to sin 70 times during the day and make tawbah. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. No sahabi understood this hadith to mean that. Nobody in the ummah from the awliya understood this as the meaning of this hadith sharif. What they understood is that man is weak, he is human, he can make mistakes. So it is just to give him that satisfaction. The word 70 is used, meaning that abundantly to if you commit sins. But if you don't want to commit it, you've got every intention of not to return to that sin, but accidentally the person is overwhelmed, overpowered by nafs and shaitan, and again he committed sin, then don't be despondent, don't despair of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Don't say that now I have become persistent, so therefore Allah will not accept my tawbah, and give up sin, the tawbah itself. That is what it means, that go on making tawbah. But every time that you make the tawbah, have a firm determination that you are not going to return to that sin. And go in that direction also. When a person says that I've got no intention of going in a certain direction, then he does not go to make his car move in that direction. Now if the person says that I want to travel north, I want to go north, I don't have any intention of going south, but he puts his car in the direction of south, knowing fully well that that road is leading south, then what would we call that person? We will say that this person is mad. Or he does not really mean that he does not want to go south. Because if he wanted to go north, then he would have gone in the direction of north. After that, by mistake, he took the wrong turn and went away south. Then we will say, turn your car around, even though you make mistake a dozen times, but turn your car around and go back again. Find out which is the correct direction.
SubhanAllah.
Accidentally, the person was traveling in a certain direction. He wanted to, for example, I think this happened a couple months ago or last year, that we were going to Amzinto. And I know that road so well that I don't know how many times I must have traveled on that route, but just a slight slip of the mind and I took the road that was going to Pietermaritzburg. So one brother from the back, he chased after me, and then he said that Molna, you're on the wrong road. Then I realized that I was going towards Pietermaritzburg, whereas I was supposed to go towards Amzinto. But I took a lesson from that, that we should never ever think that our taqwa is that strong that now we will never make a slip. We should never think that now our taqwa is of that level that we will never make a slip. That we have become Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam now, and now we have become sinless and masoom and protected. Therefore we can take chances everywhere. We can allow ourselves to be in such situations where nafs and shaitan normally tempt a person, but our taqwa is so strong that even if there is a pretty young woman sitting in our office alone, scantily dressed as our secretary, then we will not be tempted, because our taqwa is very strong. We are doing a lot of deen work. We must never ever think that. We don't know when nafs and shaitan can make the person slip, when nafs and shaitan can seize this person's heart. So we must take a lesson that here I know the road so well, but still just a slight lapse and the person is gone on the wrong direction. So that is what it means, that if accidentally you took the wrong road, then turn around and get onto the right road. But don't purposely go 70 times onto the wrong road. 70 times going onto the wrong road is stupidity, it is foolishness. But if you took the right turn, again it was not the right direction, you didn't have the person to show you the right one, and you kept making mistakes, then half a dozen times if you make mistake, but make the effort to get onto the right road. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that that person is not persistent, who makes tawbah, even though he has committed that sin 70 times for that. That is what it means. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that my Rabb, this is what he ordered me. And what was the point that I was discussing? Yes. Taqwa. That we should not think that our taqwa is of that level. But in any case, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in this first point, he has given us such an important lesson that if only we remember this, then we do not have to, then it will give us that power to restrain ourselves from evil, wherever it is. That Allah Ta'ala's khawf, once it comes into the heart, Yes, I was talking about the earthquakes, tremors and cyclones. Allah Ta'ala brought the point back into my mind. That those disasters, wherever they will strike, they will strike. But the person who is indulging in sins, the person who is indulging in haram, the person who is enjoying those filthy television programs, is enjoying those filthy magazines and filthy articles, this person is enjoying all the haram, then Allah Ta'ala causes the earthquake and the cyclones and the gale force winds and all to crush his heart. So this person's heart has already become restless. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not allow any kind of peace and happiness and contentment and satisfaction, serenity, joy and happiness to come into this heart. That earthquake and that disaster strikes the person's heart first. Now at present, Turkey, Cape Town, many other places, there are disasters. So there is a trend that we have a lot of delegations going, delegations upon delegations, which is a good thing, to go and find out what are the conditions of the Muslim brothers and the others, and then see what we can do to assist them and help them. But my problem is this, that how many of these delegations really go there to take a lesson from what is happening around there? Because what is one of the points that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions towards the latter part of this hadith sharif is that my nazar must be a nazar of ibrat, that when I look around, I must take a lesson from everything that I see around. That is another point. So all these delegations that go there, sometimes they go from here with that niyat, that we are just going to see the destruction of the buildings, how much of damage has been caused, how much of harm has been done, and then we will come back and see what can be done to assist and help. Alhamdulillah, the person will get reward for that. But how many people, after seeing what is happening there, those delegations that are going in their place, we should not say that we didn't go there, so what? We read in the newspapers. How many people saw it on television screens? Those who have got the habit of watching the television. So how much they saw on the television screen? How much they read in the newspapers and magazines? But after reading all that, how much of nazar of ibrat we had? That if that has happened there, now what lesson did we take from it? Besides giving some coins and some rands and some pounds and dollars, what other lesson did we take after seeing that destruction, after being there, those especially who went there, and seeing that destruction there? How much of determination have they got? How much did they make tawbah and istighfar there and say, Ya Allah, now that we are returning to our hometowns, we will make sure that we will clean our homes out of all the filth that has entered there and our lives out of all the filth that has entered our lives. We will make sincere tawbah and return towards you, because we can see that when you unleash your power, when you unleash your azab, then the mighty powers of the world get shaken up. Nothing they can do. All the missiles of the countries of the world cannot stop that gale force wind and cannot stop that earth from shaking. So therefore, Ya Allah, I do not want this to happen in my locality, my area, my life. Therefore now I'm making sincere tawbah from every sin that I'm indulging in. If that is what happens, then alhamdulillah. But if it doesn't happen, then it means we haven't taken a lesson. There was one buzruk, he was traveling in the rickshaw there in Pakistan. So on those lampposts, so there are signboards. So on the signboard, there was a facial cream which was advertised, and the name of that cream was Tibet Snow. Tibet Snow. But in Urdu, it was written there, Ta Te Be Te Snow. Sin Nun Wow. So this buzruk asked the person with him, he said, what is that? He said, it's Tibet snow. He says, nahi, barabar dekho. So he looked at it again. He says, wahan likha hua hai, tabbat suno. Te be te, tabbat suno. Read tabbat yada abi lahab. Listen to it and see what message is being given there. What did Allah Ta'ala do to Abu Lahab and his wife? Now to us it was Tibet snow. But to that buzruk, to that ahlullah, even they in that Tibet snow, there was tabbat suno. So they take a lesson from everything that they see around them, they take a lesson. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, my Rabb ordered me that I must fear my Allah in private life and in my public life. This is the crux of the whole thing. That if only we can learn to fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's anger and displeasure, whether we are in public or whether we are in our seclusion of our rooms and homes, then our problem is solved. And don't think that this fear will bring depression and it will create all kinds of health problems, because too much of fear is not a good thing. It is not that you must just keep fearing. Fear that much is required, which restrains the person from committing haram. That's all fear is required. It's not that whole day the person must just sit and keep fearing. Only that much fear is required that it stops the person from committing any action that is haram. And accidentally, if he commits it, then he makes plenty of tawbah. That much fear is required, not more than that. And then, again, who is the one that benefits? It's this person himself. Because this khawf of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's azab or his displeasure, when the person has in his heart and he restrains himself, so then he has got taqwa. And when he has got taqwa, then he becomes the beloved of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And then all those promises that Allah ta'ala has made in the Quran Sharif upon taqwa, this person becomes the recipient of that. So our sajdas which we are making, our rukus which we are making, our charities which we are giving, everything that we are doing, there must be some life and some soul that must be come into it. Without that life and soul, it is not going to give us the desired benefits. Therefore, my Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, he says in one of his poems, I just can't get the beginning of that poem, but in there he says that get up at night and light up your hearts with the sajda. Dil ko sajde mein ro ro ke abad kar. Dil ko sajde mein ro ro ke abad kar. Raaton ko uth kar ke faryad kar. Dil ko ro ro ke sajde mein abad kar. So this, he says, dil ko sajde mein rakh kar. He's not talking about keeping the forehead in sajda. He says, keep your heart in sajda. Dil ko sajde mein ro ro ke abad kar. That you have to place your heart in sajda. Meaning submit this heart to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and cry over your sins. Then that noor of taqwa will come into that heart. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that is the first thing that my Rabb has ordered me. But if we go carry on that again, we will stop there. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that my Rabb has ordered that whether I am in a happy state of mind or whether I am angry, whatever condition, but I must only say that which is haq, which is just, which is fair. There must be no injustice done to anybody just because of the different conditions of my heart. We cannot be happy all the time. There will be occasions when we are angry. So now when you are angry, then at that time you must not forget that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is watching. Allah ta'ala knows, so therefore we must not do any injustice. Our speech also, there must be no lies. There must be nothing but the truth, because that is the state of society. That when we like somebody, then we will praise him so much that we'll put him in the heavens. And when we don't like, then we will condemn everything and we'll make up false statements against that person. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows everything. But then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that we must adopt moderation, whether in richness or in poverty. We have discussed all these things to some extent. We want to get on to the last point. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that I must maintain family ties, even though they break the ties, they sever the ties, but I must still maintain it. And if people deprive me of my rights, I must still fulfill their rights. And if anyone does injustice to me, then I must forgive that person. Now this is something that we have to learn. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will test a person. It is easy sometimes to sit and say it, that if injustice is done or somebody talks ill about you or somebody writes something bad about you, then you must forgive that person and make dua for hidayat for that person. It is easy to say it, but when somebody comes up and criticizes the person, then that's the time to see what was his temperament like. If the person said, yes, take some action and go and blow his head up and do this and do that, then it shows that it was just speech and nothing else. So when anybody writes any filth and trash, and we know that it is not what we have said or done, then do the same thing that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did when he was beaten up, when he was tortured, when he was persecuted, when he was stoned to such an extent that his shoes were filled with his Mubarak blood. At that time, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when the angels come to him and say, and Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam says, these are the angels of these mountains. If you say Allah ta'ala can crush them between these two mountains, what does he say? Allahumma hdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, give hidayat to my people, for they do not know. So that should be our attitude. That, oh Allah, give hidayat to them. They do not know. They are ignorant. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, if injustice is done, then I must forgive that person. And when we are going to learn to forgive, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give us izzat and respect. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that my silence must be contemplation, meditation. When I am silent, then that is what my silence should be. Not fantasizing about all haram things. One girl wrote one letter and it really made me very, very happy and pleased. She says that, Maulana, in one of your talks you mentioned that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us such kind of powers that we can fantasize. So we should not fantasize about haram things. Why should we not fantasize that it will be the day of Qiyamah and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we will be seeing him, we will be meeting him. And if I stay away from sins and from haram, then I will be seeing my Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And all those beautiful things of Jannat and all that other ni'mats, why should we not fantasize about such kind of things? So therefore I have made it my habit to fantasize about such things. For example, she writes that I would like that on the day, she says, I'm restraining myself from everything that is haram, and I fantasize that on the day of Qiyamah I must be raised like a person like Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that all parts of his body is separated and says blood is oozing out from the body, and then my Rabb must ask me that why all this happened. He said, Ya Allah, I made the sacrifice of the blood of my desires. My evil desires, I sacrificed that blood. And then after that, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he welcomes me. And all that, and she goes on. So what I am saying is this, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, my silence, there must be contemplation, there must be meditation. We must look at the things around us, all the creation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and see Allah ta'ala's attitude with us, what it is, and what is our attitude. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that my speech must be zikr. I think that is where we stop there, that my speech must be zikrullah. So zikrullah is not just subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah. That is tasbih. If a person reads it, he will get reward, he will get sawab. But we cannot light up our hearts. We cannot light up our hearts by reading tasbih on the one side and indulging in haram on the other side. No matter how much of tasbih we read, we are remembering Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on the one hand with tasbih. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. That is remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with our tongues. But then, on the other hand, our negligence with regards to namaz or roza, zakat, hajj or the rights of others, when it comes to stealing, crime, fornication, adultery, now if we are indulging in those kind of things, then it shows that we are not really remembering Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Because closeness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala can be of two kinds. One is that the person is close to Allah and Allah is pleased with him. And the other is the person is close to Allah ta'ala and is remembering Allah ta'ala, but Allah is not pleased with him. There are two ways. One is that the person is remembering Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and Allah is also pleased with him. And the other one is he is remembering Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and is close to Allah ta'ala, but Allah is displeased with him. The example is that a person is near a king and the king is very pleased with him. He is standing very close to the king and the king is very pleased with him. So then this king is going to shower all the gifts upon this person because he likes him, is pleased with him. And the other is a person who has been arrested for a crime. He is arrested for a crime and he is standing very close to the king. But the king is now displeased with him because he has insulted the king, he has disobeyed the king, he has refused or rejected the orders of the king. So he is very close to the king. But what he must wait for is one sword to chop his neck off. So they were both people were close to the king. But the one was close to the king and the king was pleased. And this person was very close too, but the king was displeased. So both people are making zikrullah. Both people are doing deen work. Both people are engaged in tilawat. Both people are engaged in ibadat. But one person, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, is pleased with him because he is obeying the orders. He is not rejecting the hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He is not only praising Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, glorifying Allah ta'ala, making tasbih of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and then rejecting all his ahkam. So this person who is making tasbih, zikr, ibadat, tilawat, doing all the right things, and is staying away from haram, so then he is pleasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Azkurkum, fazkuruni azkurkum. That when you are going to remember me, then I will remember you with my inayat, with my gifts. And the other person, he is praising Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but he does not want to accept the orders of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So he is also close, but Allah ta'ala's azab can come upon him anytime, because he is refusing to accept Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ahkam. And this is what we term as munafiqat. This is what we term as hypocrisy. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the munafiqeen were those who had nifaq in their aqidas. That outwardly they projected Islam, but in their heart there was nothing but kufr. But in our time, it is not only the nifaq in the aqidah. There are lots of people, even in these times, that they have got outwardly Islam, but inside there's nothing but rejection of Islam. Very clear, open rejection. We can see it so clearly in their lives and also in their writings and in their statements and in their speeches. That in our times, again, we are getting those same munafiqs who were there in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that in their hearts, outwardly, they have their no iman and no Islam in their hearts. But outwardly, they say, we are Muslims, we are Muslims. Why? Because they have to marry a Muslim woman, or they have to live in a Muslim society, or they were born in a Muslim home. But there is complete rejection in their heart of the laws of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And they have no qualms about saying that we want a reformation and a change in certain verses of the Holy Quran Sharif. But they won't say that we're giving up Islam. So that same category of munafiqeen that was in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we even have today. But the majority, there's nifaq fil amal. That in our actions, in our deeds, there's hypocrisy. Therefore, as Shah Waliullah rahmatullah alayhi, he points towards this fact. He says that we should not think that these ayats of nifaq and hypocrisy was only for the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that group does not exist today. He says that there is so much of nifaq fil amal in these days. So the Quranic verses, they are warning us all the time. And especially if we have some idea of what is happening in our society, then those people who are handling cases all the time, they will tell you that the majority of the people who complain, they say that it is the closest person to them who betrayed them. 90% of the time, they say it's my brother, my sister, my aunt, my uncle, my nephew. Somebody will blame the one who is closest, or the one who was his closest friend. He says that he is the one that betrayed me. I placed so much of trust in him and he betrayed me. This is that nifaq fil amal. That there is no way that a person can really place his trust. One person wanted to know, says, I want to make my islah. And you say that we must not harbor jealousy, we must not have a malice, and we must not have suspicion in our hearts. So now how do we deal? Because when we have a stranger or a person that we do not know very well, then when we are going to deal with this person, then that suspicion comes in our mind. That we don't know whether this person will repay my money or not. We don't know whether this person is a spy, or is going to let me down, is going to betray me. We don't know. So now the person is cautious. Now is this also against the Sharia? So I said, no, this is not against the Sharia. One is to take precaution, to be cautious, not to just pour your heart out to any stranger and say exactly whatever is in the heart. To be careful with whom you are befriending or with whom you are dealing. You deal like strangers. Gifts you give like friends. But when you deal like strangers. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali, that great Amir of the Jamaat, that great Buzruk and Wali of the time, of his time, Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali, he said that if any person puts a proposal for your daughter, then don't give your daughter to him just because you saw him in the Jamaat. And if a person comes to you and asks you for credit, he says that, or a loan, then don't give him a loan just because you saw him in the Jamaat. Just as you would normally inquire, find out, investigate your normal queries, how you make. In the same way, this person, no matter how many times you saw him in the Jamaat, but you make your investigation, you make your queries, and when you feel satisfied that this person is honest and upright, then you give him a loan if you want to give, and give him your daughter if you want to give. Otherwise you will blame the Jamaat after that. He says, otherwise you will say that I saw him with Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali. So I am saying, he says, that even if you see that person close to me, then too, if he comes to you for a loan, or if he comes to you for your daughter, then you make investigation. Don't just say because you saw him there. Why I am mentioning this is, lots of people now, they come up with the same type of problem, that we saw him in the Jamaat, we saw him in the Majlis of Zikr, we saw him in the Khanqah there, we saw him by the Shaykh there, and he was the one that was giving, that he was feeding the Shaykh there, and he was very close to the Shaykh. And thereafter, when something goes wrong, then they say that, but we thought that this person was very honest and truthful and uprighteous and God-fearing. So look at his wisdom. He says that make the investigation so that after that you blame that individual and yourself and not anybody else. Because there's so much of hypocrisy. Maulana Madani Rahmatullah Ali, the British government, the CIDs that they planted to spy on him because he was anti-British government. So the CIDs were those people, or the spies were those people who used to press his legs, who used to bring his food, and who used to massage his head. And Maulana Madani Rahmatullah Ali knew fully well that this person who is making so much of khidmat of mine, he is no one but a spy. So if the Ahlullah, they did not leave with their hypocrisy. Maulana Shah Ataullah Bukhari Rahmatullah Ali, so many times he went into jail. He said, Adi meri zindagi jail mein kati, or Adi meri zindagi rail mein kati. And why? Because it was those same spies who were very, very close to him. Maulana Shah Wasiullah Rahmatullah Ali, he said, I used to see two people. They used to always sit together in my majlis, always together. And it was as if they could not be parted and separated. He said, ek din ek ne kaha, ki agar mere bas mein a jaye, to main uska gala ghoont do. He said, this person that you see sitting next to me, if only it is within my power, I will throttle him to death. He said, ab ye muhabbat unki thi. Outwardly, it seemed as if they were so close and such close friends that they cannot be separated and parted. But this was in the heart. So if this is not hypocrisy and nifaq, then what is it? Therefore, he used to say that nifaq and hypocrisy, ye sikka raijul waqt hai. He said, this nifaq and hypocrisy, ye sikka raijul waqt hai, meaning it's the currency of the time. I am telling you this because these majlises are intended to make islah of all things. That he says it is sikka raijul waqt, meaning it's a currency of the time. That don't place your trust too much in anyone, because you do not know what is in that person's heart. We don't have that kush to see what is in the person's heart. They will come and sing praises on your face, and then just after you move from there, then they will curse you and condemn you and criticize you and throw you into hell. He says, that's why it is sikka raijul waqt. And so many people have hurt themselves. So many people have been caused harm because they trusted, or they placed their trust in people who they thought were their friends. Ikhlas can be seen. Ikhlas is something that the person can make out, that when there is ikhlas. You think all these bribes that people go and give to all these government ministers, that is ikhlas. They're giving hadiya with ikhlas there. How much of bribery is given? You think that is ikhlas there? Maulana Shah Wasiullah Rahmatullah Alayhi, that great wali, I think you heard two or twice or thrice, I must have mentioned in this majlis, that he had the kush that he is going to pass away and his body is going to go into the water. Phool to kya daloge turbat pe meri, are tum se khak bhi na dali jayegi. He says, where are you going to put flowers on my grave? You will not be even able to put sand on my grave. And he said this when he was fit and healthy. And he said it so many times in his majlises, and people didn't understand what he was saying. He was going for Hajj and passed away a day before arrival at Jeddah in the boat. And due to some problems, the body could not be allowed to come into Jeddah. And that is what they were always making dua, that we must pass away in the path of Allah. And then now, right until Qiyamah, every year one Hajj. So his body was put into the sea, into ocean. And that is when they realized that this is what he was telling us from a long time. Okay, where are you going to put flowers on my grave? You won't be even able to put sand. So he used to say about this hypocrisy. He says that so many people, they come to my majlis, and in their hearts there is nothing but enmity and hatred for me. And he used to see it. But he says that the walis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they do not disgrace and embarrass and humiliate any person. But he says precaution must be taken, that you must not think that these people are all your very close associates and friends. Why I'm mentioning this is that so many people are complaining that I was let down by this one, I was let down by that one, I was betrayed by that one, I was betrayed by that one. And most of the time it is the one that is the closest to that person. So ikhlas is something that a person can sense. So these bribes, you say, which are given to all these ministers and to government officials, you say it is not hadiya, is that hadiya? But they call it hadiya. When we go and give to them, they say, this is a gift from my side, please accept it. That's what they say, it's a gift. Allah. Of course, Shariat of Islam being the perfect Shariat, if you think that you are right, you cannot seem to exercise until you give some bribe, then it is haram for that person to accept it, but permissible for you to give it. Zulm and injustice is being done. You want to travel on the plane or train, and the seats are available. In India, it is common that the whole coach is empty. They'll say, chai pani ka kuch de do pehle. So now you know that if you're not going to give that person something, then there will be no seat. And yet there are plenty of seats there. So now if you have to bribe that person, it's haram for him to accept, but jaiz for you. But if that seat has been allocated to someone, then to go and give him 100 rupees and say that now that the coach is full, so therefore I'm giving you 100 rupees, take one person out from there. So then that is haram. Because now you got no right over that person's seat. This is what we have to learn. That where injustice is being done and there is no way of getting out of that except with a little bit of bribe, then it's permissible for you to give, but haram for that person to accept. So he says, just as people are giving bribes to these officials, he says, people want to even give bribes to the mashayikh these days. He says, mere paas aate hai election ke zamane mein, at the time of elections. He said, the different parties come to me. Why? The leaders of different parties. He says, they come to me and then they offer me gifts. And they want it to be known to the people outside that this person seems to have got very good contact with this Shaykh and Buzru. Now all his followers must then see that who they must give their vote to. So he says, when that person goes, another one comes. So they say he doesn't accept those gifts because he knows it's all bribes. And then he says, most of the times when they come, then I take a blanket, I cover my head and I sleep away. I say, I'm not feeling too well because I know that this is nifaq, it is hypocrisy. Because you won't see these people again after that. So if he says it has gone to that extent, how careful we must be in these days. How careful we must be. So we must take a lesson from this. That we must not trust any person unless we have had a dealing with him. We have traveled with the person, we have been his neighbor, we have tested the person for some time. Until then, do not pour out your heart to that person. So many people, they gave the secrets to someone, and afterwards they say that we were betrayed. And if you want your secret to be known throughout the world, then you must tell that person, please don't say it to anybody. That's all. Anything that you want must spread, then you must say, please don't say anybody. I'm only telling you, it's a secret. Keep it in your heart. Now that which we couldn't keep in our own heart, who's going to keep it in his heart? If we couldn't look after that treasure, then where you expect somebody else to look after it? Brothers, these are all teachings of Sharia. It is deen. It is deen, all this. It is not just fairy tales. Shariat is a complete package. That our akhlaq, our muamlat, our muasharat. And then just as we are going to be cautious and we must not trust others, the lesson that we must take is that, are my actions those of the munafiqeen? That am I doing the same thing to others? That is what we should learn from there. From all these things that are happening around, then we must take the lesson that my actions, are they of the munafiqeen or of the mu'mineen? If I have got these traits in me, that I speak lies, or I betray the trust that has been placed in me, or I take false oaths and qasams, or make false promises, then it means that I have got those traits of those munafiqeen, and I must make tawbah from all that. Because very quickly we look into the others, that who let me down, and which day he let me down, and when I was betrayed. But we forget to take an x-ray of our own hearts, that how many times I betrayed others, how many times I did those things which the munafiqeen used to do in the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this is another thing that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that my silence, there must be meditation, there must be contemplation, and my speech, there must be zikrullah. So I was explaining the zikrullah, and I don't know where we went, but zikrullah, this is what it means. That at all times, the person, before he says anything, then he weighs it, that is this in the category of zikrullah? Meaning that if he is trading, then he won't say anything with the tongue, which is haram, which is misleading, which is deception. In the same way, if the person is speaking to someone, he will not speak lies. He will not mislead the person. He will not betray the trust that has been placed in him. With his tongue, whatever he is saying, then he will weigh it. His words will be weighed. It's not going to be just free speech. Because at present, they say free speech. Anybody can say anything he wants. There is a park in London, Hyde Park. So there, every person can come and swear whoever he wants. On Sundays, that is what they do there. Free speech. Now, that is not Islam and Sharia. In Sharia, we have to put reins over our speech, reins over our listening, reins over our seeing, reins over our hearts. Because Allah Ta'ala wants to bless us with something so great, priceless, precious, that we cannot even imagine. And for that, all Allah Ta'ala is asking us is restrain yourself from haram. And when you go to restrain yourself, you'll find peace and happiness. Now imagine the person who does not backbite about anybody. The person who does not speak lies. The person who does not swear and curse. The person who does not deceive and does not gamble and does not commit adultery and fornication. Now this person's life will be very peaceful and a happy one. It is shaitan who makes us think that all those people who are indulging in all that haram, they are enjoying themselves. And then makes us dive also into that pool. And afterwards we realized in what a mess we are. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal. Inshallah we'll discuss the last point. Next week I will be inshallah in Newcastle on Saturday night. And Friday also we won't be here. And Sunday also there's a program in Dundee. So there will be no majlis on Sunday night. And since there are school holidays too, so inshallah the next program will be on Thursday, our zikr program. There will be no majlis next week. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina azaban nar. Ay Allah, hamare saghira kabira amadan khatwaan zahiri batini har guna ko maaf farma. Ay Allah, hum sab ko sehat afiyat izzat salamati naseeb farma. Ay Allah, sare alam ke andar hidayat ki hawa ko tu chala de. Ay Allah, hum sab ko gunahon se hifazat farma. Hum sab ki gunahon se hifazat farma. اے میرے پیارے خدا, دنیا اور آخرت کی بلائیوں سے مالا مال فرما. جو بیمار ہیں ان کو شفا عطا فرما. جو قرضدار محتاج اور تنگ دست ہیں ان کی پریشانیوں کو ختم فرما. اے اللہ, حضور پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے جتنے خیر کا سوال کیا وہ سب خیر ہمیں نصیب فرما, اور جتنے شرور اور فتن سے پناہ مانگی اسے ہمیں پناہ نصیب فرما. اللہم انا نسألک من خیر ما سألک منه نبیک و حبیبک سیدنا محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, ونعوذ بک من شر ما استعاذ منه نبیک و حبیبک سیدنا محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, وانت المستعان وعلیک البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة الا باللہ. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمة الله.